Good afternoon. We're going to go ahead and get started. Sorry for the delay. Welcome to the special open public meeting of the Los Angeles Regional Adult Education Consortium. To help us with the Robert's Rules of Order, we have Jefferson Crane actually on call, ready to answer any questions if we have them. And we're hoping we do a better job than we did last time with the Robert's Rules. If anybody is interested in speaking during public comment, please see Sean in the back or on the side. Thank you. Kathy, would you be so kind as to lead us in the pledge?
Stand, please. Where is it? Hand over heart. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So our first action of business is to approve the minutes from our October 16th open public meeting. Does anybody have any corrections to the minutes? If there are no corrections, is everyone in agreement with approving the minutes?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Good to go. The next action of business is to approve the minutes from the October 23rd special public meeting. Are there any questions to those minutes?
I will be abstaining because I wasn't here at that meeting, so I can't approve those minutes.
I move that we approve the minutes of the October 23rd meeting.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Four. So, and you're abstaining.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, am I taking notes and chairing?
Yeah.
No, you're taking notes.
No.
Okay. Okay, good. Now I'm really ready. The next item, plans for consortia funding, thematic funds distribution. At the October 16th meeting in Montebello, each district presented a funding proposal for all districts in the consortium. At the mediation meeting we held on December 1st, we agreed to develop a thematic plan detailing the use of those funds. Today, each district will present their plan for the use of the funds. Please state for the record which funding proposal you're basing your plan amount on, because there were several different funding proposals, so I don't know which one you're using. You want to go first, Emilio?
Yes, and I'm using
no pressure.
Thank you. I'm used to pressure. I'm using the most recent proposal that I believe Superintendent King and Chancellor Rodriguez indicated, and for Burbank that was $700,000 non-MOE funding.
Okay.
And so the first item here for us was the need to explore and develop new CTE programs and pathways in health science and medical technology, and along with that also the entrepreneurship and self-employment pathway. For Burbank, this is very much needed to continue to expand its medical technology. And what we're looking for particularly is an LVN program that is needed to already complement our CNA and our CMA program. The alignment to our regional plan is that it's a bridge and pathway program also between adult ed and the community colleges in terms of CTE. And the rationale is, quite frankly, that we need to provide programs that are relevant to our community and to the needs. And we've discussed this with our advisory committee. Also, we've had communication with the Verdugo Job Center, which attends our advisory committee. and looking at the needs. So that is how we determine that. And the funding that we're looking at that, which would be extensive because it would involve facilities, it involves staffing, is about $425,000. And as far as the resources, we would need to have staff dedicated to that. As I said, facilities, the instructional materials, equipment, those items that are listed on there, I think we can all see that. And then as far as personnel, it would be the administration, our leadership team, our faculty, and also our counseling staff. The second one, which is also a part of that CTE theme, is that we need to definitely explore and develop new ESL vocational courses. This is especially needed, and what we're looking at is preparing our students for entry into the medical tech programs, and we need to have a preparation courses for that. Courses that center on the terminology, courses that center on the math, courses that center on the sciences, the anatomy and the physiology, that really prepare these students so that they can then start transitioning into these CTE programs while they are taking ESL courses. And we felt that this was also part of the assessment and placement counseling theme. We need to integrate our instruction within the CASA standards and competencies for our ABE, ASE, ESL, and CTE programs. And the monies we would use for instructional materials and supplies, some additional professional development that's needed. We believe we already have the staffing for that, so that's not going to be an issue. The next one is that, and this is under the theme of articulation and curriculum development, is we've had communication with our community colleges. Burbank has been in meetings along with North Valley and West Valley, with Mission, with Pierce, and with Los Angeles Valley College. And as a result of that, it's become very evident that we need to develop an ACCUPLACER test prep course. That test is very important. We're not doing a good job of preparing our students for that, I'm going to be very honest with you. And so that is something that came about through that articulation with the colleges that we needed to do to better prepare our students. Again, that part of that is the rationale is Burbank Adult School being relevant to the needs of the community and the district by offering meaningful programs that address those needs of our students. We're looking at about $10,000 for that. That is for some software cost, and also for materials and supplies for the course, some professional development for the. And again, we believe that we have the staffing for that already. The other part which we're very interested in is that of improving our counseling services, and we're looking at increasing our counselors by one FTE, one additional person. And quite frankly, again, this is the need here is to improve that connection with our students and by offering personalized services. One of the things we're looking at is having this counselor work Wednesday through Saturday. Our current counseling services are Monday through Thursday, so we're looking at Wednesday through Saturday because, quite frankly, working people cannot access the current hours that we have for counseling. So if we have somebody there Friday, if we have somebody there Saturday, then we can better serve the needs of our community. The also connected to counseling is that we need to provide workshops and better inform our students that are in our ABE, ASE, and CTE programs along with ESL about the academic programs that we have, the CTE programs that we have, and the programs that our community colleges offer. Community colleges have excellent CTE programs. We need to better inform our students about those programs that they can access as well. Professional development is something that is not a one-time shot, and so we have really benefited as a school, and our staff has been given us excellent feedback on the professional development we've provided. We cannot stop there, and so we've set aside funding to continue to provide systemic professional development for all of our staff. That's our ABE, ASC, CTE, and ESL. And we've set aside money there for to compensate them for that professional development time. They're coming on Saturday, and so we are compensating for that and also for the materials and supplies needed. And lastly, technology. And quite frankly, we need to improve and expand our classroom technology because that's how instruction is delivered. It's not an enhancement. And so we need to set aside funding. We set aside about $120,000, and that is to make sure that every classroom is equipped so that it's consistently equipped classroom to classroom with laptops, with projectors that are mounted, with document cameras, and also with the software that is needed for the various programs. So that is what Burbank's plan would be for the utilization of the non-MOE funding.
Okay, who wants to go next? Oh, that would be me then. We're going alphabetical. Lancy has my own copy. Thank you. So you see on the left-hand side, those are the themes that we talked about at that mediation meeting. All of the themes were aligned to elements of our regional comprehensive plan. So for us, I listed all of the themes, even though you'll see a zero amount in some of those categories. So you'll see assessment and placement. Once we determine what those assessment tools, we'll need to purchase them. But if we have to decide on less money right now and we have no assessment tool as of right now, LARIC-wide, my thought is, okay, we can do without that for this first year. But eventually we would need the money for whatever we decide as a group. In terms of counseling, that is looking at one half-time counselor for part of the year. As Emilio stated, for all the same reasons, I think everybody is in agreement with the desperate need for additional counselors. We are a very small program at Culver City. We do not have any CTE, and partly because we have our community college partner is actually less than a mile away, and they have the facilities to continue to offer that, and so we refer students there. Instructional technology, we are lucky because we are in a good place in terms of projectors and document cameras and stuff like that, and basic computers in our classrooms that are relatively new, but they're not enough for a whole classroom. So this would allow us to purchase some Chromebook carts that would make it accessible to more students. Again, the next one, data accountability and technology. Once we decide what kind of system LARIC will use, we will need money for that, but since we're not there yet, that would be the place that I'm not allocating any funds. Articulation, so we're looking, and specifically there is the curriculum alignment piece, and that is all the time that our teachers and staff are spending together, together with Culver City, together with the other K-12s, and then with the community colleges as we move forward with that kind of alignment. So that's really the staff time for that. The coordination, LARIC has become a whole other responsibility inside of our adult school responsibility. So this would cover a part-time point person because we do not have an assistant principal or extra people there. And I have a few hats. Then the next thing is professional development. We're clear that as we implement these pilots to expand services to our students, that our teachers and staff will need to be in service and also attend additional conferences to learn about new things. So that's the $10,000. And then accelerated learning, we are looking at purchasing additional software licenses to accelerate the learning for students, to allow them the opportunity to do work at home when they cannot be in class, and move away from our typical individualized lab, to be able to offer those blended opportunities. And this is just software. And again, all of what you see here is what it would take for us to do these things through the end of this school year. And then the last thing is our MOE gap. When they determined what the maintenance of efforts funding amount would be for each district, it was based on several years in 2012 data, and our operational costs increased So we were lucky in Culver City. We got teachers got raises. So we still have a huge gap between what our MOE is and what our actual operational costs are. And this gap would just prevent us from having to close classrooms that would, in fact, create an additional gap, which is not what the intent of this partnership and collaboration is. So ours is $400,000, and it's also based on the January 14th proposal by Dr. King and Chancellor Rodriguez. Next.
Madam Chair, I'd like to ask, will there be time after everyone is presented to ask questions for clarification on the plans?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Again, Marvin Martinez. I'm the president of East Los Angeles College, and I'm also myself and as well as Dr. Adrian Ann Mullen, who's the dean of adult ed at the district level, will be doing the presentation together. Again, just to give you some background, we are a 9-college district. East LA College is one of the 9 colleges. East LA College is the largest college. Just to give you an idea of who we serve, we serve nearly 140,000 students. East LA College serves nearly 40,000 of them per semester. So the presentation that we're making, it is focused on the $7 million, again, based upon the agreement between Superintendent King and Chancellor Rodriguez. So our presentation, you know, since we are a little bit different in terms of how we focus as a 9-college district, and really what I mean by that is not all the 9 colleges do the same thing. So in terms of CTE, for example, not all 9 colleges have nursing programs. Only 6 of the colleges have nursing programs. In terms of CTE, not all 9 colleges have culinary arts. Only 3 of them have culinary arts. So we do focus a little bit differently between each other. Our presentation will focus on generally what we're going to do with the plan when the allocation goes to each of the different colleges. Each college would then take that allocation and use it, obviously, to meet the plan, but also use it to work with their counterparts that they need to work with. So at East LA College, you know, we'll be working closely with Montebello Unified, who is next door to us, and as well as the other schools within the east side of LAUSD, such as the East LA Occupational Center, as well as the Huntington Park, and so that will be, of course, our focus. So let's get started, Adrienne, so we can get into some detail about what we're going to be doing, of course, with the dollars.
Okay, so we did the theme as well, and we passed out the handout, and I'm just going to start at this slide. So what we did is we balanced across all themes, faculty engagement, support and leadership, and then we also looked at professional development. We have a category for professional development, but we also balanced it because we know when we do alignment of curriculum and we address some of seamless transitions and gaps in services and accelerated learning, there'll be moments of professional development within those work groups as well. We identified a new theme within our thematic distribution, which was district and campus support, because we know this work needs to move forward, but we also have to have coordination and support with that work. So that's how we did it. We moved accelerated training under articulation because that's an area that we're going to address when we do curriculum alignment. That's how that process unfolds in our district under the curriculum alignment and the shared governance process. So our first theme is assessment, placement, and counseling. It's at $1.8 million. This theme includes resources for outreach, recruitment, and persistence because we know we need to bring adults in. Our plan addresses the gap. And even between the 4 districts and our community college district, we're not serving all the adults that we need to serve within the Los Angeles region. In this area, we're going to have a counseling work group that will address educational plans and best practices across districts. That's something that came forward and float it to the top when we did wrote the plan that counseling needs to be addressed across all districts, and we want to have a seamless transition with educational plans so we can really put a student on the pathway. Each of us will have the opportunity to employ the necessary staff to support adult education, which can include a counselor at every campus for adult education students. Assessment work group will complete a crosswalk of assessments used across the district. Cut scores in our district our local decision, so that is something that we're going to work through our shared governance process to address. It's also Assessment is also a state topic as well. Stipends for faculty members to work across districts are included, as well as assessment testing units, because when students come into our system, they take a placement test. We pay for this testing units for students to take the test. We'll be funded for adult education as well as pilot programs. We know we want to do pre-test and post-test. In order to do that, we need to fund those units. Our next category is career technical education. This theme includes staffing support again across for resources for outreach, recruitment, and persistence. We'll have campus CTE work groups to develop non-credit, a variety of CTE certificate programs that lead to high employment potential. This is the area that's probably the most underdeveloped within our plan, because colleges made a choice whether they fund CTE and non-credit versus credit. So we need to grow this area, since that's the area that CTE is counted within AB 104. We'll include stipends for faculty members to complete this work at the campus level as well as the district level. And we also want to create advisory partner advisory committees for each campus. Technology and accountability. This, like Culver City, is not our biggest area, because we're going to front load the process and then add to it as we go forward with adult education. So this theme includes resources for personnel to support the accountability and deliverables. We need to create our benchmarks metrics at our district site and be able to match those to the other districts. Again, we want to have an adult education advisory committee that will work with our campus and leadership supports, our district leadership. Articulation, curriculum, alignment, coordination, and acceleration. We move acceleration into this theme because in our district, when we look at curriculum alignment, we also look how to accelerate the curriculum. We look at duplication, and we look at how to create those seamless transitions, where the gaps in services are, and how to really keep our students on a pathway and add the support they need to be successful. The district work groups, now these are the minimum. There will probably be more that will grow through this work, as basic skills math, basic skills English, ESL, which will include citizenship, adult basic education, and then pre-apprenticeship. That is some area. That's an area that will also grow across the colleges. Again, I'll include stipends for the faculty to complete this work, and then we're also looking at expanding our non-credit programs. We're at cap within our district, which means, and Marvin, you can expand on this if you'd like, which means we can't grow our non-credit programs. So in order to serve the students who are coming on the pathway from adult education in the USDs into our system, we need to offer classes. To do that, we need to fund them through this grant, because we will not receive apportionment from the state to do so. So that's an important thing to note. And we're going to use this in this pathway, curriculum alignment, which is all the pathways outside of CTE as well as in the CTE pathway. Professional development, it's embedded across all of these areas, like I stated before, but also we pulled out money for each college to do professional development to address adult education at the college level as well as at the district level. We imagine that we're going to have a district-wide symposium similar to what we do in our district for basic skills and some other initiatives that we have moved forward. And we also want to create cross-district opportunities as well, because we know to be truly aligned and create these seamless transitions, we have to move as a unit. So we want to create those opportunities across districts. District and campus support, we have funded at $500,000. This theme includes staff support, leadership, and district outreach and recruitment blueprint. We know that we need to pull students into our district, and we want to look at a unified effort to support what's happening at the campus level. We'll have campus and district coordination and work groups and pilots, because we want to create those. We want to address policies and procedures. This is a new population coming into our district. We know some of the policies and procedures that we have. We may need to look at them and see what's the easiest way to ensure a smooth transition into our system. And then again, this is going to partner with the Accountability and Technology Committee to have a district advisory committee. Student services is funded at 1.6. This thing again includes staffing support for outreach, recruitment, and persistence, because we want students to come, we want them to stay, and we want them to be successful. but we know there's many exit points, so we want to make sure that we address those exit points appropriately. We'll have campus work groups to really look at what are the gaps in services and to identify the needs and the gaps in services across student services, to develop the infrastructure to serve adult learners, and also to leverage with the other grants that come into community colleges that will be beneficial to our population. And we want to work create a work group across this area as well. So in summary, the needs that we have are we need to have resources to engage faculty members, we need to create pathways, we want to align curriculum, we want to grow professional development. It's very succinct. We need to develop a comprehensive reading program that will be in our ESL program to help to address academic literacy. We want to contextualize learning pathways that will help accelerate the completion to degree. We want to develop comprehensive student support systems, meaningful assessments and articulations, and that's something that will work across all districts. And we want to create accountability and data sharing systems so we can truly track the success of our students from the USD into the community colleges, into the workplace. And that's it. So thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Michael Romero, and it's my honor to represent LA Unified on the LARIC Executive Board. We do have the PowerPoint, Victor, and or somebody from Division of Adult Ed, if we can, those multiple copies, if we can make sure we get it out to the audience. Our chair had asked to talk about how we're basing our plan on what discussion around funding distribution. So in the PowerPoint, we've put in the funding discussion that happened at the last board meeting October 23rd, LA Unified receiving $7.7 million. But I do want to share, when we get to the point on the agenda today, when we talk about alternative proposals, I also want to share that we are in alignment about talking about the conversation that our superintendent, Ms. King, had recently with Chancellor Rodriguez as of January 14th, and that would be LA Unified receiving $17.1 million. Okay, so the first slide talks about our themes. And you'll see they're very similar to my colleagues Burbank, Culver City, LACCD, and of course Montebello, because as an executive board, we felt that these were the right buckets, these are the right themes, and kind of in LA Unified, when we talk about a theory of action or how we approach this work, we believe if we do these things here well, and we reflect, and we refine, and we continuously improve, and we put our resources very strategically towards these, then student achievement goes up. That's kind of our belief. If we do these well, then student achievement and those outcomes, we hit them at much higher levels. And so if you turn, Victor, if you can go to the next. This is how we're breaking down the distribution that could come our way by percentage connected to those themes. Victor, if you can go to the next slide. I wanted to start with assessment, placement, and counseling. And of course, we all feel collectively this is a fundamental piece. And so LA Unified would like to fund 15 additional full-time equivalent counselors with this funding. And that would cost us roughly $1.6 million. And so what do we do differently? It's not just funding extra counselors. It's the professional development that comes in and this opportunity with this work to reflect on how we approach it. What are the assessments? How do we become more effective with all students being assessed? And then what do we do with those results? And how does that connect to how we help place students in appropriate classes? So more people coming into play, that means more face time, more personalized attention, increase conversations with many more students around, you've just taken this assessment, let's talk about the classes you might take And most importantly, where do those classes take you? And I'm the counselor as far as pathways, bridges. And I think because of this LIRIC work, which has been, it's been challenging, but it's wonderful work and great upside potential. So LA Unified does a better job with more counselors on assessing, placing, and then counseling pathways where? To the community college. To the community college, two-year, four-year. There. If we go to the next slide, the two bullets there, I just wanted to reinforce, it's one thing to assess, it's one thing to place, it's another to really shepherd and stay the course with as many students as we can down those appropriate pathways, those bridges. Our students, and we've done a good job, but we can continue to do better with this, of letting our students know these options. What are these pathways? And crystal clear, what are those opportunities at the community college right down the street that may be a higher level connected to CTE? Victor, if you go to the next page. Career and technical education. I wanted to share with everyone that LA Unified Big District had fronted about $6 million this year to the Division of Adult Ed so that we maintained our career and technical education classes. Our Board of Education, our superintendent, felt strongly about maintaining that. Now, we knew that down the road, the LIRIC funding would come through at some point, but I just want to share here, we want to use $6 million of the money that would come through to continue maintaining what we have. But it's not just maintaining. I do want to share that we are thinking and we've marked, and our executive director, Donna Brashear, and the leadership team, it's not about maintaining, but there is, we are talking about how do we expand strategically with CTE with the $6 million. And of course, we would talk about high skill, high demand classes. We have some strong dental assistant programs. That might be an area to expand. We have some strong CNA programs, nursing assistant. That might be an area, like Emilio mentioned, the health services. We have some strong pharmacy tech programs. Those are the kind of areas that we would look to expand. The power line, there's an immense demand for power line work that we do. That could be something else. So we're going to use the money to maintain what we have, but we're also thinking about that slight expansion there. Okay. If we turn, go to the next slide. Of course, technology. Part of the use of our funding would be to support the work we do as a consortium around data collection, warehousing student. How do we hand off that information to the community college? How do we internally, how might we get better with just tracking outcomes internally, school by school? That's one piece of it. It's a fundamental piece, but I don't think the most important piece of it. What we want to do with this money as well, and we're talking $1.1 million, it doesn't go far. It doesn't go far. But instructionally, so this year, Division of Adult Ed has thought outside the box with a couple of pilots. And, of course, we need upgraded technology. One of them is we're piloting the use of something called Aztec software connected to supporting the HISET work that our students are doing. It's a pilot. But in order to do that, we need to have current technology, and there's just not enough out there. We just haven't had the funds, and I think our students deserve that. Edgenuity, that's been a pilot that we've been looking at as well. And to do any expansion with that, so it's, again, teacher. We have teachers in front of students. We have whole group settings. We have small group settings. We have one-on-one work. We have independent study. But at some point, how do we, and we talk about this term blended learning, how do we get better with where does technology come in? Because we just don't have enough teachers to do the personalized work day in and day out that we would need. So where does technology, where a student in that class can turn to an Edgenuity system, for example. So that's technology, data warehousing, but the instructional component. If we go to the next slide, articulation, curriculum alignment, and coordination connected with professional development, connected with accelerated training. I'll share, accelerated training was a new concept for me with our board the last couple of meetings. You've heard it. To me, it's accelerated learning. That's how I'm looking at it. So we teach. We want students to learn at high levels as quickly as possible. How might we accelerate that leading, becoming more efficient? That's what we're talking about here. So a portion of this money is also how do we work with our LARIC colleagues as a consortium to look at our curriculum, and we've already done some of that work around ESL as a starting point, a little bit with that, but how do we look at what we teach as a regional consortium? How do we look at how we deliver that? How do we learn from each other? And I'll tell you, last school, or earlier in the year, we went to Burbank Unified because we had heard some good work about their individualized learning labs with technology built in, this learning, this blended learning. And we heard about it, we ran there to say, hey, what's happening? And it's part of, we're thinking about the pilot work that we do there. But this funding would help facilitate teachers coming together, us looking at each other's practices around curriculum alignment, coordinating, like being really clear on bridges and pathways to the community college. If you go to the next slide. This is a continuation of LARIC regional work, articulation, curriculum alignment, that good stuff there. Also, one of the features here is how do we maintain and enhance LARIC's communication plan? So we have a website. So we're thinking about how is somebody paid to help with that so that we're clearly communicating that. That could come up very well. In this PD, the professional development, I think out of all of it, we can buy technology, we can find programs, we can align curriculum, but how do we help build the capacity of everyone in the system? How do we bring teachers together in a kind of a systematic, ongoing cohort fashion collectively to help them get better? And administrators get better, and the supporting staff get better. It's this theme about continuous improvement. We never stop thinking about that. So when we say professional development, and it's not a lot of money, it's a chance to rethink how we do that, how we model in these professional development sessions, how we demo, we model, we practice, we come back, how did it go, that kind of thing there. And we're talking $1.3 million, that's not going to go far. Okay, if you go to the next slide, district-specific area, what for LA Unified, what we mean here, we wanted to share, we have some fundamental programs, ESL, Adult Basic Ed. We have thousands of folks right now that need to get into these classes. Many of them are our parents that could support their children, but also working parents that the more proficient they get in English, English is a second language, the more proficient they get, they have opportunities to make more money. There are job expansion opportunities. It's a fundamental piece. So $7.5 million of this will be to fill gaps, right? The current gaps that we have and to meet the needs out in the field around different levels of ESL, coupled with adult basic ed. We have thousands of adults, many of them are parents, that don't have high school diplomas. And this is about helping put skills in their pocket, an opportunity to get a high school diploma, coupled with ESL many times, so that they have a fighting chance at employment at a higher level, putting more money in their pockets. supporting their families at a different level. So ESL, Adult Basic Ed, a large chunk of it is simply to restore, not to fill the need. There's a need and a gap right there. Also connected to that, I want to come back to CTE. We want to use $6 million to maintain what we have, because if we don't, that means we cut CTE with a slight expansion. But I did want to share something in our LA Unified Division of Adult Ed team, and Donna, we've talked about this, and we have to go strong. It's like full court press. We put things up here, we talk about them, but this is a great opportunity. Something like iBEST, where it's a chance to think outside the box, where we have parents that need to increase their English proficiency levels, but at the same time, through better enhanced counseling support, there's the CTE component. And we actually package it. We might even say, hey, by the way, if you want to go into dental assistant, by the way, you have to take concurrently these ESL classes. That's the kind of thinking that we have to do outside of the box as an opportunity here with this funding. So I just wanted to mark iBEST. I wanted to mark the work with Aztec Software. I wanted to mark the work with Edgenuity on that. And then the last slide was simply kind of a how we might break it down. Oh, thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome here. My name is Kathy Brenzel. I'm with Montebello Unified. Montebello Unified is excited about the opportunity that Consortium and LARIC offers our community. We also recognize the fact that Consortia statewide is really a work program. It's really intended to put people to work. And I'd say all of the programs that we offer in adult education, K-12 and community college, are really intended when you're learning a language, when you're getting your high school diploma, when you're doing CTE. We see that all as preparation for jobs. So I think we're right there in offering the state what they need, which is supporting activities for adults to access education and workforce training. LARIC members collaboratively chose these common themes that we could use as a funding structure, and they include these among other things. So you can see what our themes. We actually came to consensus with that when we were working with our facilitator. We have integrated these themes into the activities identified in each program. So as I go through the programs, you're going to see themes going through the activities that have been identified. And we also keyed them to the objectives required in first AB 86 and then in AB 104. So we keyed them to these objectives. There's 7 objectives. The first 3 are like assessing the need and what part of the need each one of us fulfills. And then there were other objectives that we are aligning with. Themes and activities were a major factor used to determine consortium costs for our program. So we use these to determine the costs. Are we okay? He left. You got me. The program areas incorporating, these are the program areas incorporating the activities and themes. These were done probably a good 4 or 5 months ago with collaboration with everybody at Montebello. The chairs took the information to their staff, to the staff, so everybody had input on what our plan, the directions that we were taking, based on and driven by the plan that we developed for LARIC, for the consortium for through LARIC. So everybody had input on what directions we would be taking. So ESL citizenship, we're expanding that. We firmly believe that we will have something with immigration. And so we're looking at that seriously to be able to, like, increase the services to those people in need of language services, citizenship services. We're looking at the accelerated learning through blended learning, perhaps like the old vessel where you have English learned by vocation that you're interested in taking, certainly using distance learning and increasing that. Software instruction material, we have a Rosetta Stone, and we'll be looking further into technology for all of our areas and all of our programs. Data collection is going to be a big one because there's 70 consortium right now, and we all have to do data input. So it would be wonderful if the money that comes to the state, which is $25 million, they develop some kind of system that we can all access, and it'll be common, and it'll be like, in the end, it's going to be really like giving the data that the state people and the legislators are looking for to see what our successes are. Articulation and transitions, counseling services, a goal, the college has to do an IEP for every person coming in. I think that's a great goal for all of us to achieve, that every student coming to our program gets services and a pathway so they know which way. It can always be changed, but at least they have a roadmap as to where they're going and how they're going to get there. They'll also get information about what's available to them. I think that's a lofty goal that we all have to look at. And then the state is also asking us to develop promising pilot programs. So I've keyed it to the objectives that it serves, and that's the cost. The next is the ABE, ASE, HISET. We're doing HISET. Montebello's, that's it. We're just doing that at this point. So we are looking at incorporating a lot of technology into our adult high school program. We've started with GradPoint, and we're putting that into the contracts as part of it. We're moving that way. GradPoint has a plethora, my husband would say, that's a big word, a plethora of materials, and it's all keyed to Common Core. So that's really a good aspect that we know that it's keyed to that because that's the direction that it's going. So we're using that. We're adding prep classes for HISET. Accelerated learning strategies, we're looking at that through the computer too, and maybe distance learning. We need to develop a new transcript program for our students. The one we have is insufficient, unable to make the changes like when Casey came in and Casey went out and things like that. Management system, expanding counseling services too, and developing promising pilot programs, and the objectives and the costs are there. Okay, the biggest amount of money that we're focusing on is going to be in career tech prep, short term with high employment potential. We currently have some of those going on now, but we're looking at increasing some of them and adding some of them. So Montebello is committed to low-cost CTE entrance programs. We have a farm tech program that we charge $700 for. I think that out there it can be at least two or three times as much as that. Montebello is committed to charging these low service fees so our students can access it. We also have a security program that I believe we charge about $150 total. There's about 10 modules that they take, and it's about $150 for all of it. And once again, out there, it's probably close to $1,000. So like I said, we're very lucky. We have a great deal of support for our students to keep the costs low. Food services, we're looking at dental tech. We're looking at increasing farm tech. We're looking at short-term high employability programs. We're implementing career centers with job development and job placement personnel. So we can really, from ESL if they're there, to high school, to job, to the job market. We want to develop seamless pathways, pre-apprenticeship programs. We think that that's an area that we can really excel in. and we need to align with state certification. So that's the highest amount that we're looking at because it's expensive. And the technology support. Technology really goes through all the program areas, but I pulled out some of the things that we're planning to do with it, so you can see that. And the cost. Technology is really, you know, it's a really high cost item, but the world is moving that way, and as schools saying that we're going to educate people for the world, we have to move that way too. Okay, and then I pulled out staff development. We have professional development that we need. We will. That's a huge need that we have to meet. And currently, we're doing collaborative LERIC work with all our teachers too. So not only the professional development, but the articulation work and the curriculum work and the instruction work and the assessment work that we're doing with all the members in LERIC, and that has a cost to it too. Adults with disabilities, and we are exploring implementation strategies, so I can't attach a cost to that yet, but we certainly are exploring that. So our total cost, as you see, is this amount. However, that's not on any of the other things that we did. So this cost was developed when we developed the program. Since this plan was developed and the proposed cost was presented, we have accepted a reduced allocation on October 23rd, 2015, at an official LERIC board meeting where an action item was passed and Montebello voted to accept that amount, $3,750,000. This plan will adjust to whatever we finally do come to the monies that we'll get this year. We'll have to adjust this plan. And LERIC has stalled for a while. And in the spirit of consortium and the need to move forward to serve the vast needs in our community, on January 14th, Montebello agreed to lower its allocation request to the final amount of $3,150,000. And the last is the thematic funds distribution, which I kind of explained. It's not, I didn't exactly go by themes, but themes are in the activities. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Does anybody have any questions or comments for each other? I have one for Adrian Ann. I made a little note. Now I've got to find my note. So you mentioned basic skills English, basic skills math, and then adult basic education. So I'm curious what the difference is between those things for the community college, because for us in the K-12 world, they're similar.
They're similar, but we have people on different tracks. So some students come in and they need to have a refresher in basic skills English or math, but they may already have their degree, their high school diploma or equivalency. There's other students who that is their goal, to get a, you know, the adult secondary education that will lead to that degree or high school diploma.
So which one is that? Is that the basic skills, or is that the one you mentioned that's adult basic education?
Adult secondary education, the way we define it within our district,
In the plan.
Is to help you, it went through the plan as well, is to help you get your high school diploma or equivalency. We have schools that work with students to take the test, okay, prepare them for the test. Students who come in who are deficient in adult basic skills, math, or English, they may already have a degree, they may be returning to academia after a stop out period, and they need to brush up their skills to go on to a pathway. So it's really a different population that we're addressing.
So same skill set, but I'm just trying to get clarification. So maybe with the same skill set, but one group has a high school diploma or degree and the other group does not.
Can be defined that way, yes.
Okay. Thank you. That was my question.
Any other questions for me?
I have a question, Adrian, and that is the new theme, the district campus support. Does that include counseling?
Counseling is under counseling, so it's under the theme of counseling, and we did put money in for each campus to have an adult education counselor.
So that
$500,000 that's district and campus support, that is not enough money to have a counselor at every campus. So that is embedded in I think, the first theme that we had for articulation and included counseling as well.
So then, is counseling its own, or is it under student services? Or do student services have counseling too?
It's under student services.
It's in this thematic approach, because the way we identified the themes at our mediation or facilitation, we put counseling under articulation in our theme.
When you presented the thing, it said assessment, placement, and counseling.
Right.
That's what the...
Right. So that's where the actual counselor position is. Student services is a more robust approach where we're looking at... I can't think of the word. I just lost it. But we're looking at really a wraparound service for students. So it will include tutoring. It will include making sure that the obstacles that have a student that may stop out, that we're addressing those obstacles, and that may be through a position, a classified position in our district, which is student support services position or assistant, that we would link them to outside services that would complement what they're doing in the classroom to make them more successful. So it may be child care, it may be transportation, and we'll leverage that with other grants that we have on our campuses that we can use to serve the same population. I don't know if Marvin wants to add anything to that.
No, I think that if there's anything to add, you know, student services at a community college involves a number of services. So let me give an example. Obviously, counseling is one major one. But in addition to counseling, you know, we also provide another menu of services to students. Tutoring is another example. So the way that, you know, but however, when you look at the budget and the themes, you know, again, based upon the, you know, there, we wanted to separate it a little bit because counseling is such a unique service as opposed to everything else. Now, keep in mind, tutoring is not done by counselors. Mm-hmm. Or other services that are you know, that we provide to students aren't always done by counselors. The work that counselors do is just counseling. So, in regards to students as to why we need a specific counselor for adult ed, right now, you know, most of our campuses are max. In fact, we average 1,500 students or so per counselor. So this would obviously add even more students to a counselor. There's just no way that we can expect good quality service, good quality counseling with the current staff that we have.
And we want to create a direct connect. So we want you to know the counselor, your counselor at Burbank, to know the counselor at Pierce College or Valley College. So you can call and have that direct conversation about a student that may be transitioning or about a pathway, or know the counselors that are engaged in adult education across our district, so we really can create that seamless transition.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Any questions for my proposal? Of course not. Any questions for no? Okay. Thank you all. Thank you all for that. Now we will have public comment. Do I get cards? Do I call them? How do we want to do that? This is when I would call Jefferson Crane and say, am I doing this right? Or the names? Oh, who's number one? Is that how they do it? You tell me.
Number one.
Got it.
How many cards do we give out?
About three or four.
My name is Matthew Kogan. I'm an ESL teacher at Evans Community Adult School. I'm also the director for adult education for United Teachers Los Angeles. And I'm very excited. I'm very excited because there's a LEARC meeting. I'm very happy that you're coming together, hopefully to move forward in this. Because I've been very sad that things have not been moving forward. I mean, we have a huge waiting list in LAUSD. We've been cut 72%. It's just been horrific. And it sometimes looked like nothing was going to move forward for us, even with the support of our lawmakers, recognizing the great need for adult education in our state and in our community. Still, things couldn't move forward. And I'm going to say what I said at the LACCC Board of Trustees. I think there are some that are cynical, and that the cynics are winning and our students are losing. I think for free speech you need a sense of tolerance. And for any type of voting, to mention something about the governments, you need a sense that the other people aren't trying to kill you. We've been tasked, our districts have been tasked to collaborate and to roll up their sleeves and think about ways to work together, not make lists out of every bad thing someone could do as if we weren't collaborating. This cannot go on. We have not been tasked by this by our state. And to have the support from Sacramento and money sitting there while our students go on waiting lists is inexcusable. And I'm hoping that we can move on in the spirit of helping those students, in the spirit of our lawmakers that are trying to help those students. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Who's number two? You can do it. You can do it. How about number three? And we'll come back to number two. Number four. Go. No. Number two's coming? Okay. Got it. We'll let you pass.
Okay, thanks. I just want to throw some support behind Matthew, who spoke before me. I'm Lori Adams. I'm the president of Burbank Teachers Association, and the presidents from the five school districts that you guys represent have been meeting and talking about how the process has been slowed. So we would like to encourage you to come to a decision so that these funds may be released and we can continue developing these great programs that you all have been describing. It sounds like everybody has a long wish list and we all want great things, but we have to start somewhere and get these people into school and starting their careers. So please consider moving the ball along a little quickly. Thank you.
Thank you. Number three.
Good afternoon, Lorraine Richards. I'm president of Montebello Teachers Association, and I'm here to represent those individuals that are part of the association, but also I'm a parent from the district, and I have students in the system, so it's kind of a twofold. And I see the funding going just beyond adult school because, as Mr. Romero had actually stated while he was doing his presentation, is that these funds actually trickle down to the Head Start to 12 community, because as the parents improve themselves, they can help the students at home in the classroom and improve their instruction and make them successful. So it's all one huge package for the entire community. So I really encourage this to move forward and to get this resolved with the funding, so these great programs that we heard about right now can also be implemented. Thank you.
Thank you. We have time. Who wants to be five? No, that's four. Right. That's it? Three? Thank you for the public comment. I believe, Mike, you'll be introducing the next theme, January 14th, 2016, Alternative Proposal for Distribution of Consortium Funds.
Yes, thank you. On our agenda this afternoon, the next item is Alternative Proposal for Distribution of Consortium Funds. And if we can use the docu-reader, I wanted to put something there, and if we can expand that. Recently, as I've mentioned, our superintendent, Ms. Michelle King, worked with Chancellor Rodriguez with LA Community College District. They've had actually multiple conversations and working diligently to help move the process forward. And on January 14th, Ms. King had proposed that LA Unified would be willing to accept $17,127,000 as identified here. And so I just wanted to put that out there for background. That was the discussion. In fact, all of our superintendents have been involved in these discussions. And as my colleagues have mentioned in their proposals, that's been part of the proposals today. Now, I wanted to share an alternative way of looking at this. And Victor, if you can put up the next document there. Since January 14th, and again, our superintendents working and the executive board coming into play as a consortium, I wanted to propose this alternative to move the work forward. which is the board voting today an action item that we would share with the state a 90% distribution of the thinking for January 14th. And so you'll see it, you'll see the proposed amount in that first column, starting with Burbank at 700,000. If you go down to Montebello at the bottom, 3.15. If you go to the right, the next column, you'll see 90%. That's a proposal right now that we're putting on the table that we would ask the state to distribute funding at that amount, 90% of what was discussed January 14th. And that would take Burbank, it would drop them to 630,000, Culver City to 360,000, LACCD to 6.3 million, LAUSD to 15.414 million, and Montebello to 2.835 million. It would be 25 million overall. It would be 90% of our 28 million. And you'll see the difference column so you can see what's reduced. My proposal, and as my colleagues mentioned, if that becomes an action item today, we vote on that and we ask the state to move quickly in distributing at 90%. Now, what about the 10% difference? We are committed to coming back to the table as an executive board to discuss how we might distribute that remaining 10% or the 2.8 million. So, Madam Chair, that's when we're talking about alternative proposals, that's LA Unified's alternative proposal.
Okay, any questions, comments, discussion?
Well, I see that as an alternative proposal that was reached at by Superintendent King and Chancellor Rodriguez in their conversation. I think the critical piece here is, and I probably as a board member would say that I absolutely understand what our speakers said regarding the need for monies to be released so that these programs can be implemented and addressed. I think that what we need to keep in mind is that the clock is ticking and that we have, my understanding is, until December of 2017 to utilize this funding. And that is a concern that this money be used as it's intended and that it can be implemented successfully and the clock is ticking. So I would like to see that happen, but the clear understanding is that this 90% is not what we are finalizing it as. Mm-hmm. And I want to make that clear for Burbank that we would not be okay with a final figure of 630.
Madam Chair, would it be appropriate for LA to put forth a motion?
Is there any other discussion?
That would be the motion, maybe.
Yeah, I'd like to. I can make a motion regarding
the Jefferson Crane question. Okay, motion first.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So I'd like to move to request a 90% partial distribution based on the January 14th alternative proposal for distribution of consortium funds from the state of California to continue moving forward on the implementation of our plans.
I second.
All in favor?
No discussion.
Oh. Any discussion?
No discussion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 And all opposed? So unanimous? So here's what I understand the motion to be. We are requesting a 90% partial distribution from the state based on this January 14th proposal so that we can move forward and continue to implement our regional comprehensive plan. Mm-hmm. And it is not the final distribution for any of our one schools.
90% identifies that.
Okay. The motion passes. Mm-hmm. So in closing, the next LARIC open public meeting is scheduled for Friday, February 19th in Culver City. Woohoo!
at 10 or 1?
I think the accommodation was 1 in the afternoon. The accommodation.
It will be announced.
You see to be announced.
Yeah. So check our website at laric.net for the agenda and directions and final start time. Thank you all for coming, and the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Veronica.
Good job.
Thank you. Very nice. Yeah.
We'll have a chair every meeting. We'll have a chair every meeting.
You know?
We'll be late, right?
Yeah, right. I should be okay with Culver City.
Yeah. Wait till your own backyard. No, it was very good. A good accomplishment. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, very good.